All right, it is the fourth and final hour of the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you.
Hey, Dave.
What's up, Logan?
I'm a little bit out of breath. I just did 50 push-ups during that break.
Hey, very good.
I did 15, 15, 20, all while eating my oatmeal, so I'm feeling it.
Are
trying to get in shape so I make it through the COVIDs.
Exactly. Before we get to our buddy Bill Shanks, our 960 The Ref Twitter poll. If college football does not allow fans in the stands in 2020, would you still set up a tailgate on campus if you were allowed? 59% to 41% says yes.
Which is closer than I thought it would be. I thought it'd be run away. Absolutely, I'll be there. But it sounds like, and I appreciate people being honest, and if they're not going to do it, don't say you're not going to do it.
Yeah. So 60-40, essentially. So a little more than half.
A man that never turns down a good tailgate. William Shakespeare.
That's right. A man who has a website called The Superstations. A man who loves baseball. And a man who is on with us right now, the great Bill Shanks. Hey, Bill, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing? Sound like you're doing good.
I bet you can do more push-ups than I can, can't you, Bill?
Well, not right now. you know what? I doubt it. I would be ashamed to be in a push-up contest right now. I was doing great and not eating any carbs and losing weight, and then all of a sudden the COVID hit, and I'm a bag of Tostitos every day now.
I love some carbs, man. Don't get me wrong. I love me some carbs. My favorite food group.
It is tough. It is tough for sure. Bill, I noticed you had Greg Walker on your show, and I didn't get to hear it, although I do. Now, that's Gordon Beckham's father-in-law, right?
No, that's Scott Fletcher.
Scott Fletcher. Okay, I'm sorry. That's Scott Fletcher. All right, yeah. Nick's the rest of that. We can move right on then. You're right, Scott Fletcher. But, yeah, that made me think of Gordon Beckham, and I hadn't thought of Gordon in a while. So we may need to catch up with him too, see what he's up to. Well, anyway, how you been? Are you excited about baseball getting started, or do you think – the players versus the owners is going to get contentious, and we're not going to see that potential July 4th weekend start date?
Well, I really think it's going to be contentious for a while, Dave, and then I think they've got to come to their senses. For me, it's rather simple. They've got somewhere in the 1st of June is their deadline, which, you know, let's say they've got 3 weeks from right now. That's June 4th. If they come up with a plan in the next 3 weeks that they can agree on, and June 4th, if they say, okay, everybody's got to be at spring training by June 12th, first workout June 13th, that gives you 3 weeks to July 4th, and you start the season. I just think they're making a huge mistake if they do not start this new, different season on July the 4th. I mean, just imagine what kind of day that would be.
Yep.
If we wake up to opening day in baseball on the 4th of July. We couldn't have written that script, really, and we never thought it would have happened, obviously. But I think if they use the calendar as their deadline, they hopefully can get this done. And look, it's going to be – we're going to hear, I think, a lot of bad stuff that will make us think they're not going to be able to get it done because they're talking about a lot of money. And they're going to, and I hate that it's at the end of the collective bargaining agreement because I think that's causing some issues in itself, where they think if they agree to something short-term, it's going to roll over into something long-term, and I don't think that's necessarily the case. But, we're just going to have to make it through these next couple weeks with the back and forth and the stuff we'll hear and hope and pray that they can come to an agreement. I think they're foolish if they don't, because they know, they're smart enough to know that this is a chance for baseball to really help this country. And again, I mean, I get chills thinking about July 4th, opening day in Major League Baseball, and what that can mean to this country. I mean, look, casual baseball fans, non-baseball fans, you can't tell me they wouldn't embrace a day of just something being fresh and new and uplifting, and I think that's what it would be. So I hope they'll use the calendar as their deadlines and kind of go from there.
Sounds more American than Ron Swanson to me, man. Baseball, opening day, 4th of July, love it. Absolutely love it. One thing that's in that proposal, Bill, and I'm not exactly sure where you stand on this. I'm not sure if we had the conversation or not. I'll tell you my point of view. Up until very recently, I would have been very staunch, would not have been open to a designated hitter hitting the National League. But if it happens in this way, and I'm of the belief that if they even do it short term, it's probably not going to go away, period. I'm actually liking the idea more and more now that I think about the Braves' options at DH if it comes to that. And I think the Braves are maybe the National League team set up the best for that scenario if it comes to fruition.
Well, I agree, Logan, and I was never really for the DH in the National League. I kind of like the old school. I kind of like the one league being a little different than the other.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's changed my mind is there are more Mike Bogdanovich hitters than John Smoltz hitters.
Sure.
There are more pitchers who don't give a crap about perfecting their craft at the plate to try to help their team. They just go up there and swing away like Bolte does, to where it's like, oh, this is ridiculous, and just scrap it, the heck with it. And I think even institutionally, the sport is not forcing these pitchers to do what they need to do to be better at the plate, even to bunt, and therefore the heck with it. Just have the DH. And you're right, they've got a great number of options for their DH usage coming up here, and I think it's great. I mean, look, Marcell Ozuna is the perfect DH candidate to be able to have someone whose arm has obviously slipped and it's not what he used to be. He's a perfect DH, and even if not, if you want to go, all right, well, how about, you know, we could do righty-lefty stuff and say, well, you know, we won't enter Giarte in there every day because of his defense, but, you know, we won't Duvall out there, but we'll have Markakis be the DH, or Riley and Camargo, that combination, one of them could be the DH if they're not playing third. So I think the Braves are in much better position than a lot of teams as far as having very good candidates, and I think that'll help them a great deal.
But do you agree or disagree that if they do it part-time for this silly season that we're going to have, if the National League has it, that it's not going to go away, this will be permanent?
No, because they've been pushing for this, I think, in the collective bargaining agreement discussion already. You know that they want that. So, no, I doubt we'll ever see a pitcher hit again.
Okay.
It was coming anyway
within
the next year or two. So, no matter what happens this year, it was going to be on us anyway.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
The only way we're going to see a pitcher bat again is if it's in the bottom of the 21st. No, we'll
stop
see
it, Dave.
We'll see if we'll see some weird things, but yeah, for the most part, the pitcher batting is going to be like hockey players when they used to not wear helmets. Just not going to happen.
Yeah,
exactly.
I hope they do allow pitchers to be able to hit, because there are people like Madison Bumgarner. There's a quote, I've got to bring up his name on the show every week, no matter what. But I mean, he's a great hitter. My gosh, he's good. I hope they don't say, well, pitchers cannot hit at all, because if I'm Arizona, I'm using that sucker as a pinch hitter if I have to. He's good at the plate. He's got, like, what, 12 home runs or whatever? You know, Kershaw's very good. There's still guys who can hit, but most of them are more like Bolte than Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, it does bring in a few things. My stance on the DH has always been, I'm more about the leagues having uniformity. I know you said you liked it a little bit different, but it drives me crazy when you have interleague games that have different rules, or the World Series, that kind of thing. So my thing has always been either get rid of it, or, you know, have both use the same rule. So it sounds like they are going to both use the same rule. It's going to be the DH rule, and we'll see it.
Well, you know, I think, David, that changed to a certain extent when interleague play became so much more prevalent in the schedule. It was one thing when you didn't have interleague play and you really had, all right, National League plays the National League, American League plays the American League. And, you know, I've kind of laughed the last couple of nights. They've been playing those pennant-winning games on Fox Sports South, and we had the National League presidents deliver the Bill Giles trophy to the Braves in those situations, and they don't have the National League and American League presence anymore. So interleague play really changed it to where it should be uniform. I mean, all the umpires are the same. It's hard to believe we used to have a different set of umpires for the different leagues, and And you remember, Dave, I mean, you know, the American League and National League, they were looked at as two different strike zones and two different ways of pitching and playing.
Oh, I know. I mean, think of it. There's a whole generation that has no idea that there used to be different umpires, different strike zones, an American League president, a National League president. I mean, those two leagues, they did the best they could for a long, long time to stay as far apart as possible. You only win against the other league in the All-Star game and in the World Series, and that was it. So, yeah, it's just completely different now. But, I mean, eventually you knew that was what was going to happen, but that's where we are now with all of that. And the DH will be kind of the – that's the final block, isn't it, of the two leagues, I guess.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I found an old Braves Illustrated in my house a couple of weeks ago, Dave, and I think it was Furman Fisher who wrote a piece in their, like, you know, their yearbook, and it was in 1980, and he was talking about – it was either Pete Van Weerden or Furman Fisher, and he was talking about what he thought was coming with the future of baseball, and he had interleague play in there, and you know, it was interesting to kind of read that and look back because, I mean, the leagues were so different in it. And it made the World Series special because you really had to, you know, it was fun to see the Braves, the Yankees play, and you know, when you had those kind of matchups in the World Series. But interleague play is good, I think, for the game, and I enjoy it. And I wish it was more equitable as far as what the teams play. I think it ought to be like the NFL, and every team from the same division plays every other team from the other division in the other league. But it's good for baseball to play, in my opinion.
Our buddy Bill Shanks here joining us.
Bill, I don't care if we pay him $18 million or a revenue sharing, whatever it is, but you seem to think Cole Hamels may still not be ready if the season starts in July.
Yeah, I'm worried about that, Logan. I think that's a concern. I mean, I don't know if we'll know until they get to a spring training, probably, but I think there is concern on their part that he may still be delayed. And I don't know what's happened. I don't know. I mean, I had heard he was making progress, was going to be okay, and then I heard that, well, we're not sure if he's going to be ready or not. So I almost hated to put that out there, but I think it's worthy of discussion because it's a shame if he's not going to be able to contribute, but hopefully at the minimum he can come back toward the latter part of even that 3 month regular season and be part of the rotation and contribute. But I think, you know, look, 36 years old, and the guy who obviously has got a shoulder issue, I don't think we should count on him, which, look, I think they're going to be okay. I do. I hate that they got that much money tied into him. I hate they didn't spend that money on someone else. I won't mention any names. But, you know, I think they are going to be okay. If those six pitchers who were pitching very well when spring training was put on pause and come back and bounce back and get right back on track, I think they're going to be okay because I'm telling you, as I've said a couple of times, Kyle Wright just looked ready to go. And, look, this guy was the fifth overall pick in the draft for a reason. And so I hate that if Hamels won't be ready, that'll be a shame. But hopefully they can get him to contribute at some point. But I think, you know, they were just so encouraged by what they saw from Sean Newcomb. They loved what they saw from Kyle Wright. I think they aren't worried about Soroka. Freed was working on some stuff. His numbers weren't great, but they aren't worried about him. Fulte, you know, more of a mental thing to make sure he's gotten over what happened in the first inning last October. But I think they're going to be okay with or without him.
Talking with Bill Shanks, as the baseball season, at least there's hope that we'll get something going here. The beginning of July, and July 4th is actually on a Friday, is that right? Or a Saturday, whatever it is.
I think it's on Saturday.
It's on Saturday, yes. I mean, it just, like you said, it just couldn't be more perfect to have baseball come back that weekend. And hopefully that'll be the case for sure.
This is the year we had Cinco de Mayo on a Taco Tuesday, July 4th on a Saturday, then the Rona had to mess it all up for us, man. Came in and ruined the entire year.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Bill, one of the I see it as a silver lining when we have a situation like this. A lot of us have to get creative in the way we produce content, things we talk about. You may write about things that you otherwise wouldn't have if the season was going on. I enjoyed a lot your piece on if Dale Murphy was on the 1991 Braves, what would that have meant? Could the Braves have closed things out in the World Series? But go read it at BraveCentral.com. But what is the gist of that little piece you wrote?
Well, I had a friend of mine actually ask me the question. We were just kind of shooting the bull and talking, and he said, "Well, you know, it's such a shame looking back on that that Murph got traded." And look, Dale Murphy went to Bobby Cox and told him, "Look, it's probably going to be best for both sides if you trade me."
Mm-hmm.
He could tell that it was kind of turning to where it was a younger team, and he wasn't performing like he had back in 1987. He was struggling a little bit, and it was tough because they just kept on losing. And so he, you know, in hindsight, even, I think, still understands the decision that he made. But then it's almost cruel to turn around and know that very next year after they traded Murph, they became one of the two best teams, obviously, in the National League in 1991. But if they had not traded him, it's just kind of interesting to think about what would have happened. I mean, John Schuerholz may have had to make a decision about whether or not to keep him, because obviously he was evaluating everything and made a lot of changes in the winter of that first year he was the GM between 90 and 91. He might have said, you know what, I'm ready to turn the page. Let's trade Dale Murphy. But if he hadn't and Murphy had stayed, you know, would Murphy have, would they have put Justice, because I think people forget that Dave Justice played first base until Dale Murphy got traded, and then he moved to right field. So half of David Justice's year when he won the National League Rookie of the Year award was spent at first base. And then when Murph got traded in August the 3rd, he went to right field and, of course, stayed there for 7 years. But if Murphy had stayed, you know, he could have been stayed in the outfield, obviously. They could have said, well, we're going to put Murphy at first base, which would have meant they're not going to sign Sid Bream, which would have been kind of interesting because Murphy had played first early in his career. And I wonder if Murph could have gone back to first base and that may have helped his knees, which were obviously a problem by that point. But it's just kind of interesting to wonder of how he would have done if he would have done better in the lineup with Terry Pendleton around him and how the Braves were getting better. He wouldn't have had to be the man, you know, that he was when he was on the Braves. He could have been a complimentary player, and it would have been great for him to have enjoyed that year of 1991. But, we're kind of reaching into the hypotheticals when we're reaching for content right now.
I love it, though. I hate that we don't have baseball, but I like when these kind of things surface.
Well, you know, Logan brought this up earlier this week, and it's something we've discussed before, but do you think Murphy would be in the Hall of Fame if he had hit two more homers, like for that magical 400 instead of being at 398?
Yeah, I think people would look at him differently. And you know what, now I just thought about this. I didn't even think about this in the article. But if he had been on that 91 team, would he have had a better candidacy for the Hall of Fame because of the fact that he would have been in the World Series, you know? I didn't even think about that when I was writing the daggum article.
Now you got to go rewrite the whole article, Bill.
Yeah.
I need a lot of content. I'll go write another one. but you know, that is something to think about. I mean, if you know, Dale Murphy, he had only been in three playoff games in his career, those three in 1982. So if he had been able to be on the big stage in the LCS against Pittsburgh and the World Series against the Twins, and wow, if he had gotten a big hit, what if that had changed his resume little bit and just how people think about him? Because he never had the spotlight on him in the playoffs like other people did. I mean, Jim Rice, you know, was a player, obviously. I love Jim Rice. He was a great player. And you know, he got good numbers, really good numbers. He's in the Hall of Fame, and I think he should be. But Murph's numbers aren't too much different than Rice's. But, you know, Rice was in Boston, number one. And number two, he was in the World Series in 86 and you know, had a couple other playoff appearances and was in that big game against the Yankees. So I think whether Murphy had been in the postseason more or if he had been in a bigger market, it could have helped his candidacy, and including hitting two more home runs.
I agree.
You know, the thing is, you look at Fred McGriff, and I think Fred McGriff ought to be in the Hall of Fame. He's punished, I think, because he was on 10 different teams or whatever. But Fred McGriff was a great player. He may not have been an MVP or whatever. He was an All-Star Game MVP in 94. But, you know, why is he not in the Hall of Fame? What is he punished for?
We have to keep in mind, though, I think it's relevant that Andrew Jones has 434 home runs and barely gets votes every year. Now, part of that could be that he only hit 300 once in his career, but still, he's got 434. And if Murphy had 400, would it really change things?
Well, but, you know, I mean, Murphy was a two-time MVP, so he's got that in his resume. But, you know, the Andrew thing, look, Andrew tailed off so badly.
He did.
At the end, obviously, and that hurt him a great deal. If Andrew had not tailed off and just fallen off like a rock, his numbers would be so much better. He'd be pushing 500 home runs, probably. His batting average would not have dipped the way it did at the end. And that's, I think, what people bring up to kind of indict him, if you will, in his candidacy. But, I mean, Lord, if you watched him play defense like we did, I don't think there's any doubt of what he was.
But, you know, the thing about Andrew is that, you know, like Ozzie Smith gets to get in the Hall of Fame because of his defense. And I love Ozzie Smith, don't get me wrong. But why does that not come up more with other players? And you look at Andrew Jones, and if I'm counting this right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He won 10 Gold Gloves, and that never gets brought up. But he was, you know, he was a power hitter, but he was the best defensive center fielder or best defensive outfielder of his generation, and that doesn't seem to get brought up either as much. So that's why it's different for different players.
Right, absolutely. But again, you know, David, I mean, Ozzie hit that home run off of Tom Nemec in 1985. I mean, you know, Andrew hit the two home runs in the World Series, so you think that would help him. But it is weird why there's not much consistency. I don't think there's any doubt Ozzie Smith was the best defensive shortstop, at least that we've ever seen. And but you know, Andrew should. I mean, I can't imagine any statistic, and they're above my head, of course, but any defensive statistic that can't quantify the fact that he was the best outfielder in one of the best in baseball history. So it's a shame that they're not. But I think it's that ending of his career. He was awful towards him. He was B.J. Upton like bad, you know?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Oh, boy.
It finally caught up with him there, but he's – he's a guy that, you know, it's just funny how just different players seem to be looked at differently or get a pass differently than other ones do.
Man.
So, anyway.
Bill, switching gears just a little bit here. We all know your thoughts on Tennessee. I like talking to you about Tennessee off the air because we can use better language when we're not broadcasting to the masses. But are you halfway, I don't know if you talked about it on your show or not, are you kind of enjoying watching Tennessee and all of its fans acting like they've passed Georgia, they've passed Alabama, because they got 21 recruits right now?
Well, it's good to have a lot of three stars on your list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and look, I mean, I'm not surprised Jeremy Pruitt's doing this. Jeremy's a good coach.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was a little early for him to get a head coaching job, but, you know, he was their ninth choice, and they had to take what they could get. But the bottom line is, I think he's trying to improve their talent level. Whenever you get a job where you're coming in for a coach who didn't succeed, you've got to improve your talent level. And he's trying to do that. And he's, you know, I think he is doing that. And I think that you have a chance to be better when they, you know, bring in some people like Harrison Bailey and some other players they brought in. But, you know, that he knows more than anybody because of who he coached for that it is a process and it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a little time, but are they going to be more competitive moving forward because of Jeremy and what he's doing? I think so. But, you know, he's still got to win it on the field. He's got to go out there and you know, look, Florida and Tennessee, they're going to have to beat Georgia before they can talk. And they might. I mean, it might happen sometime in the next 5 years. I don't know. But they know what Kirby Smart's done for this Georgia program to get it to a certain level. And you know, it's like everybody talking about Florida. I mean, I look at Florida, and I know Florida's got Kyle Trask, and okay, he may be a late first-rounder in the draft next year, and he's better than Felipe Franks and all this crap. I mean, you know, they don't have the kind of quantity of NFL prospects like Florida's had in the past. And you know, I don't see that either. So, because Georgia's packed. I hate to tell people, but they had the number one defense in the country last year, and the only player off that defense that got drafted was Mr. Irrelevant. Mm-hmm. So it's not like Georgia's received to a middle-of-the-pack defensive team. They got some beasts on that defense that'll probably make it better than it was last year.
Darn right.
So, you know, I think Tennessee, you know, you got to respect what they're doing, and I think he's expanding the reach to try to make Tennessee relevant again, which is what he had to do. But they need to calm down on the excitement until they come to Athens and win a game that's not some miracle pass at the end of the game.
I say they got to beat Florida first, and Florida's not been as good as Georgia, and they still lose to them every year.
Right, right.
I mean, baby steps, you know, Tennessee, baby steps.
Right. But you know what? Look, I mean, Logan, when they've had the kind of bad run they've had, they're looking for anything to kind of latch onto for, you know, they need something positive because they've had a lot of negative ever since Fat Bill Fulmer left as the head coach. I mean, they've had one mess after another, and so, but look, we know what they are. They ain't got no teeth. They interbred, and they eat foods that don't make any sense. So that's what they are, and they need to stay on their side of the one thing I want to do is social distance from any Tennessee fan. I can promise you that.
I got my new promo, Bill. I appreciate that.
Hey, Bill, thanks so much, my man. Always great chatting with you. Love these Thursdays.
Hey, me too, guys. Y'all stay well, stay safe, and have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Bill.
Sounds good. The great Bill Shanks. Superstations.com, BraveCentral.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.